Lord's Day 11, questions 29 through 30, continuing through the Apostles' Creed. Last week we took a look at the first phrase, which says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So we took a look at God the Creator and God's providential care over all things. So on Lord's Day 11, we're going to be taking a look at the second phrase of the Apostles' Creed, which says, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. With this, the Catechism shifts gears, and it's taken a look at prayer, and it deals with, in question 30, the practice of the Roman Catholic doctrine of praying to the saints. So in this lesson, we're going to take a look at question 30 before question 29, because question 30 is kind of getting at the root of what's being discussed here. Regarding prayer, we will see why it's so important to realize and to understand that Jesus alone is the Savior. Because question 30 is describing the Roman Catholic practice of praying to the saints. Is praying to the saints a biblical practice? Is it a sin to pray to somebody but God alone? And can dead saints even help and intercede in our prayer life? So question 30 says, do those who look for their salvation and security in the saints, in themselves, or elsewhere, really believe in the only Savior, Jesus? Meaning, if you're praying to saints, are you really looking to Christ alone for your salvation and for your help? And the answer in the Catechism gives is no. Although they boast of being this, by their deeds they deny the only Savior and Deliverer, Jesus. Either Jesus is not a perfect Savior, or those who in true faith accept the Savior have in him all they need for their salvation. So some questions we're going to be looking at is, what is the nature of prayer, and what are we actually doing when we pray? Is it okay to pray to believers who have died, deceased relatives, deceased saints? Do believers who have died even hear our prayers? It's another question. Can they intercede before the Father on our behalf? Is praying to the dead idolatry because we are looking to them for help and support and not the Lord alone? So these are some of the questions we're going to be taking a look at. The Roman Catholic practice of praying to the saints. So according to Rome, understanding the doctrine of praying to the saints, I was fortunate to be able to sit down and to ask this question to a friend of mine who is a Roman Catholic priest. And I'm glad I did so, because it cleared up a lot of false misconceptions we can have in regarding the Roman Catholic practice of praying to the saints. And what the priest said was this. He said, Paul says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So the saints on earth are not alone. The saints in heaven still intercede with people, and it happens every single day. So the saints in heaven have intercessory power, he says. And the dynamic in the confusion comes in, because what he said is we pray with the saints. We don't pray to the saints. So when a Catholic is asking, let's just say, St. Augustine to pray for him, he's praying with St. Augustine. He's not praying to St. Augustine. So what they're saying is, to the saint they're praying to, will you pray for me? Living and dead saints both intercede. You do not have to pray to the saints, according to Roman Catholicism. It's an option, but you don't have to do it. As a Roman Catholic, you do not have to pray the rosary. You are not any less Catholic for not doing so. Prayer is simply lifting up our request to God. So if you pray to Augustine and say, I am struggling in life, I need help, Augustine will be the instrument on the person's behalf. So I asked the priest, my friend, I said, okay, but so you're praying with and not to. I said, but do you see how this can become a problem? Do you see how this can become idolatry? Do you see how somebody who believes in praying to the saints can slip and can shift from praying with to praying to and making an idol out of the individual and the saint that they're praying to? The Roman Catholic priest said, absolutely. It happens all the time. He said, Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico. So he put this in order. He said, worshiping God is supreme worship. Prayers to Mary are what are referred to as extra veneration. And prayers to the saints are simply veneration. So worship to God is supreme. Prayers to Mary are extra veneration and they're not necessary. And prayers to the saints are veneration as well. They're not necessary. And he defined veneration as showing honor to the people. So when you pray to Mary, you're not worshiping her. You're venerating her. You're showing her honor. When you pray to the saints, you're not worshiping the saints. You're venerating the saints. You're showing them honor. Similar to saluting, similar to saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Also, another example would be the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, where somebody is being paid honor and respect. So a patron saint is a particular aspect that is under their care, falls under the small t tradition of Roman Catholicism, where a patron saint falls under the process of canonization. All patron saints must be first canonized, meaning they must be approved of before they can be prayed with. Process of canonization requires two miracles or healings with the intercession of the saints. Where two miracles have happened of healing, their life and their writings are investigated. If the saint is to be venerated, they are to already have been deceased. And when the process of canonization is complete, it is an infallible declaration that the person is in heaven. So the saints that are prayed with, according to Roman Catholicism, have performed two miracles. They have been investigated. They have already deceased, and they are guaranteed to be in heaven. So when you pray to them, you're praying to somebody who is in heaven interceding for you. A saint's merit can be borrowed to keep a person on the path of justification. Found this interesting when I talked to my friend. A saint can pray on my behalf. A saint can apply and give their merit to God on our behalf. It can be given because it was accrued through their good works. Presumably, God will grant this, but he doesn't have to. A saint can give the grace that would have been his to you. So the saints hold merit. Merit is to keep a person on the path of justification. This merit, if we pray to a saint, can be blessed and bestowed upon us if it is God's will that it is done so. So now, after hearing this and after talking with my friend, the Catholic priest, and getting this straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, some questions we have to ask ourselves is, do we see any examples in Scripture of anybody praying to the dead for support? Regardless if the saints are able to hear us or not, do we see any example in Scripture where a believer is praying to a deceased saint? And the answer is no. There is no biblical support or verse that approves this practice. So another question is, do we see any examples of Scripture of one saint giving their merit to another saint in order to keep them in God's saving grace? And the answer is no, it's not found anywhere in Scripture. So now we have to sit back and be the judge of this. There's what's called the memorare. The memorare is a prayer that expresses one's confidence in the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's attributed to Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. And it goes like this. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee. O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother, to thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful in sorrow. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. So this prayer, after hearing it, would you classify this prayer as idolatrous? So we see by reading this prayer how important it is to keep Jesus at the center. Because if we shift our focus off of Christ, we will place whatever we want to place at the center in substitution for him. I would say this prayer is very idolatrous. I would say it is a sin to pray this prayer, and that it is a sin to pray to any saint. We don't have any biblical warrant whatsoever to pray to saints or to even pray with deceased saints. Secondly, we have no biblical basis whatsoever to see that they can grant merit upon God's request. This is just simply not biblical. So question 30 lays the foundation for question 29, which asks, why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, Savior? And the answer is because he saves us from all our sins, and because salvation is not to be sought or found in anyone else. So remember, the Heidelberg Catechism, written in the 16th century, dealt a lot with Roman Catholicism. That was the issue of their time. Christ alone being Savior, people dealing with intercessory prayer to the saints out of Roman Catholicism. We can see why this has become such a hot topic. It's still just as true today as it was back then. So we have to take a look at Scripture to see, what does the Bible teach regarding these things? So Jesus being the one who takes away our sin, Jesus being the one who is our Savior alone, nobody else. What does the Scripture have to say to this? Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Notice this. He will save the people from their sins. It says nothing about Mary doing this. It says nothing about Mary being an intercessor. All she's going to do is bear the son. The son alone is the one who saves people from their sins. Hebrews 7:22. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, referring to Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Jesus is the high priest. Jesus is the one who is the go-between between us and God. He intercedes for us on our behalf. He alone is the Savior. There are no other many intercessors. There are no other ways to the Father but through Christ. To take a different path to God, to pray to somebody else other than Jesus himself, is sin. Hebrews 7:25 continues, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So if Jesus is continually and desirously making intercession for us, why would we go to anybody else for intercession but Christ alone? Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So it's all about relationship to Christ, not the relationship to any deceased saint or anybody else, but Christ alone. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If Jesus is our only mediator, and we have direct access to him, and he is continually living to make intercession for us, and he is permanently our high priest, There's nobody else to go to pray but Christ. Deceased saints cannot intercede for us. Deceased saints cannot give us their merit. It is Christ alone who saves by his grace. Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So therefore, to pray to any other person or saint than the one true God would mean we are placing our hope and trust in someone else other than God alone, and it would be considered an act of idolatry. Because Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. So if Jesus lives continually to make intercession for us, if he's our continual high priest, and this is what he desires to do, why would we turn to anybody else but him? So looking at this now, the nature of prayer, the Westminster Larger Catechism, question 178, gives a good answer to this. What is prayer? And it says, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of his Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of our mercies. Now notice how the Larger Catechism fits in the Trinitarian aspect of this. These are lifting up our desires to God in the name of Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are confessing to God alone our sins. We are giving thankful acknowledgement of the mercies to God alone. No intercessory prayer, no merit. We see these scriptures that support this. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. So when we are praying, it's to God alone. John 16:23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So going directly to the Father. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes before us with groaning too deep for words. Now look at this in our prayer life. When we lack, when we fail, when we are not praying completely as we should, the Holy Spirit steps in and prays to God. He intercedes for us to the Father, things according to his will. We have an intercessor. It's the Holy Spirit. No saint can be an intercessor. Only the Holy Spirit. This is God who we're praying to. That's why Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So in Westminster Larger Catechism 179, asks, are we to pray unto God only? And the answer is, God only being able to search the hearts, hear the requests, pardon the sins, and fulfill the desires of all, and only to be believed in and worshiped with religious worship. Prayer, which is a special part thereof, is to be made by all to him alone and to none other. So we see the essence or the nature of prayer, or when we see people praying to God, this is a solemn act of worship that is between us and God alone. No dead intercessory saint is in between this. Psalm 65:2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Who does all flesh come to? The one who hears prayer. Notice, nobody hears prayer but God. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call to him. To all that call on him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So the name of Jesus is supreme. The name of Jesus is holy and separate. There is no other prayer to any other person but God alone. In Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Notice the glory goes to God. Notice the deliverance comes from God's hand alone. There is no intercessory prayer. There is no intercessory merit given through prayer to a saint. So is prayer an act of worship? The answer, yes. So how much of our worship is deflected from God to the saint when a person prays to them? God will not give his glory to any other person. It is one thing to ask a person to pray for you, but it is quite another thing to pray to a deceased saint to have them pray for you. That is idolatry.